All right, verse 14, I believe. Rebound if you need to. Put yourself in fellowship. Keep yourself in fellowship as we work our way through these exhortations. Those of you who came out today, you get special points. It's cold. All right. Modus operandi towards others continues. Persecutors. Now, here's a difficult one. This will test you, to make application in case that you become the object of this. Bless those who persecute you. The word bless is eulogeo, present imperative. We have a straight up imperative now. Bless those who persecute you. I told you that dioko means to pursue something, and it is used here in the bad sense of persecution. Bless, again it's repeated, and do not curse. And do not curse. God araomai means to curse, present deponent imperative. All right, this may be the most difficult one that you would ever apply if you came under persecution for your faith. And it was very overt and very obvious. And that means that, one, this imperative places a major demand upon our mental attitude. This will place a big demand on your mental attitude. People want to get back at people if they're doing that kind of stuff in their direction. Now, you got to use judgment in every situation. When a believer comes under undeserved suffering for his faith, I would assume that that's the case here, that you're being persecuted for your faith, that's clear, from others. This exhortation is to be applied as part of the directive will of God. Now, how are you going to bless somebody that's persecuting you? Well, that depends on the situation. It depends on what is available, what a person might be able to do. It doesn't mean to say, well, God bless you anyway. That's stupid. God bless you anyway? God can't bless somebody that's an idiot, that remains an idiot, and is acting up. I mean, he's in a direct way. When a hostile and negative person is provoked by our example and beliefs, we are not to retaliate in kind. For human nature is to retaliate with vindictive words, at least. Speech, go to hell, whatever people do and say. Stay in fellowship. Recognize it for what it is. You might offer up a quick prayer as to what your response should be, if anything. If you do come under this, by those who persecute you for your faith. We are to avoid the usual cosmos response of cursing. Like I said, go to hell. Or some other phrase. That isn't glorifying God. And it should be tempered by, again, the situation. Jesus taught us how to respond to enemies. That's Matthew 5. Probably should put in 43. I got 44. You have heard that it was said, Now, this is a Jewish modification. You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. The part of the verse, this would be an example of adding to Scripture. There's not an Old Testament verse that says, and hate your enemy. You can hate what they do. That way of life, that type of thinking. We've already had an exhortation that we are to abhor, detest evil in any of its forms when it manifests itself. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Now you can do that much. So that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. Let's take God as an example. All these people saying all this bad stuff, rejecting God, carrying on in all the ways that humans do, right? All the different stuff. All over the earth. In complete disregard of the Creator. They do not glorify Him in the masses on a basic level. For he who causes his son to rise on the evil and the good. Nice, pretty, sunny day. It's over the good and it's over the evil. And sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? They have a clique. They were ostracized by the religious Jews, Jewish tax collectors who were collecting taxes for the Roman authority. They were called traitors, had all kind of. So they kind of, the tax collectors, I don't call it a guild, but as a group, they all stuck together. And they tended to be on the. They made pretty good money from the Romans. They had a good salary. And they partied hard. And so forth. And the fellow who wrote this book was one of them. One Matthew. Who was at his tax collecting booth when Jesus came by one day. And Jesus didn't jump down his throat and say, "How can you be doing this?" Because Jesus understood that the Jewish people were under the fourth cycle of discipline, and as a part of their punishment, that they had the Romans intruded into their lives. Romans did this everywhere they went. They didn't just pick on the Jews. Wherever they had their empire extended, they had poll taxes, various things. You want to use this road, cross this bridge, like we do here, you have to pay a fee. If you only greet your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Therefore, you are to be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. You're to be in fellowship. And you're to treat your so-called enemies wherever possible, whatever appropriate. You have to be stupid about it. You treat them when you can, do a kindness or something, you do so. All right, that's the point of that one. Verbal attacks in the form of ridicule, making fun of, scoffing at our belief system, it can't do anything to undermine the truth. The truth still stands tall. They can run their mouths, billions of them can say what they want to say. In the end, they'll have to eat crow. 1 Peter 3 and 13. More advice in this regard. Who is there to harm you if you prove zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, you are blessed. Do not fear their intimidation, and do not be troubled. But sanctify, set apart Christ as Lord in your hearts. Always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you. You don't have to go out and collar people. Did you know? I mean, you got to be led by the Holy Spirit. But anyone who asks you about anything related to spiritual matters, who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, and that would involve the way of salvation, some of the particulars about salvation. You can't, none of us, I couldn't, you can't teach them everything. You can just throw this out in front of them and let them do with it what they will. You want more info on this, more insight? You need to show up where I go to church. Pay a visit. That's all I've ever been able to tell anybody. Check it out for yourself. Something might come up, you know, if I'm led of the Holy Spirit, say something. Did you know? Fill in the blank. Because usually it isn't me. I don't go collar someone that's just sitting there. I don't do that. But if there's anybody wants to know or ask a question, oh, what do you do for a living? Oh, what kind of church is it? Yeah. Oh, great. This is almost funny. Yeah, you'd think great if you came here. You'd be hitting that door so fast you wouldn't even be funny. You're not positive. You're not a seeker. Be ready to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and respect. You don't call them names and you're a dummy, even though they are. You just low key it. But you keep the content straight. You don't back off at the one principle. Oh, I went to a church and they teach. Well, we teach that you can't lose your salvation. Period. Once you've believed in Christ, you're in the plan forever. It's the easiest thing to do. You don't have to go anywhere. You don't have to cough up any money. You don't have to give up anything. Even though there are things down the road as a believer you ought to quit doing, but you don't have to do anything but believe in Jesus Christ. And you get the salvation package and a complete pardon, and you're not going to go to hell no matter what. But if you stay on the road you're on, you're going to perish. The unbeliever is perishing as we speak. It'd be like someone, they're caught out here and they need to be rescued. We need to get the professional rescue people out here to get this person whose car is swamped by a sudden rainstorm and he's on the roof of it and the water's rising. We need to rescue him or the potential is he's going to drown. He's going to be swept down the deal. So while he's very much alive, he's perishing. And so when a person believes in Christ, the perishing aspect is over. All these unbelievers in the world out here, they're perishing. They need to be rescued. And the rescue message is the gospel. God put his son in this world and he took our sins on himself. And whoever believes in him has eternal life. It's right there in the Bible. Now if you want to scoff at it, you're going to find out different. You're going to find out eternally that you were wrong. And you didn't have time for that religion. Well, you should have took out a few moments to save your soul from eternal and body from eternal wrath. Anyway, you explain basically just what the scripture says. If you're handy at finding certain things, you can point out some scriptures if you have a Bible in front of you. And keep a good conscience so that in the thing in which you are slandered, they will misrepresent us. They will do that. They don't have any scruples about that. An honorable person, even if they don't agree with something, they're not going to misrepresent, just go out of their way to make up stuff to slander and misrepresent somebody. Who does that? A lot of people. They don't care. They'll just dredge up something. Oh, that church, they teach, I heard. And, you know, they just make up stuff. So, the thing in which you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ, will be put to shame. Down the road, they're gonna have to come front and center on this. You attacked and maligned fellow believers. I can imagine what they said about these Christians in the Roman Empire, like to whom Peter and others wrote, who broke from their pagan traditions, whether it's holidays or offerings or temple service or whatever. When they broke from that mess, they were bad-mouthed. We no longer go to that temple because those gods are fake. They don't exist. What? We've been worshiping this, I don't care how many thousand years. What? This stuff's all made up. Here's the reality. Now, you know what? And so they were attacking these believers, calling them all kinds of things. That they were bad citizens, that they weren't, you know. So we'll have that coming up in Romans where you obey the law of the land insofar as the law doesn't cause you to violate the law of God. If it caused you to violate the law of God, it'd be different. And some of the things that we bow down to, I say bow down, we submit ourselves to, should be repealed and redone. They're not right. It's not righteous. It's not what it ought to be. But nevertheless, we bear up under it. We suffer under it. But it doesn't cause us to violate Scripture. They're not asking us to, you can't worship, you can't do this. It may be that there is a fine line, but we're going to figure out what side to be on, the right side of that line, because repressive governments that come down on Christians and forbade them from this and that, well, then that's all completely out of line. There's a higher law. It's the law of God. We continue to witness, serve Him, and assemble. We don't cater to this mess. This isn't so easy for some Christians in time and even on earth today. They're being persecuted by the authorities just because they're believers. They may be law-abiding believers, pay their taxes, go work, have a job, do the blah, blah, blah. But that isn't good enough for them. They want you to embrace some other religion, as in Muslim countries. That's really bad there. But God has placed some Christians right out in the middle of that. That was what this country was, one of the things it was on, freedom of religion. It's a constitutional right. Like the one to keep and bear a sidearm, a weapon. And nobody's above it. It didn't get repealed. I don't care what they're saying. It didn't get repealed. And guns are not the cause of all the killing. Cars are not the cause of car accidents, usually. It's people. And Jesus said, you have a right to defend yourself against someone who would assault you. He said, if you have two cloaks, sell one and get you a nice sword. Go to the sword shop and get you a nice two-edged sword. Might help if you went somewhere and got some training with it. That's what he said. You have a right to defend yourself and your family where necessary. That's a biblical and it's a constitutional right. It's in our Constitution. Freedom of religion, freedom of speech, freedom of association. If I don't want to associate with you, I don't have to. If I want to, then I can. These are free. Why don't they teach this in school? We have a course. You're going to have to repeat these inside and out, and we're going to find examples where these are violated. Like the crazies that run California. Really. The wonderful state. at its time. I mean, one of the most prosperous pieces of real estate on the face of the earth, California. It was this paradise to go to. And now, whoa, the cities. And this isn't just in California. Full of homeless people, trash in the streets, people camping on people's front yards and defecating on them. They don't do anything. I advise you not to go vacation in those places. Somebody said they went through, Philadelphia? They couldn't wait to get through there. It was depressing. The decay in American cities, some of these bigger ones, of old time. And it has a lot to do with the administration and the failure on the part of the administration. So that's my speech on that today, off subject. For it's better, if God should will it so, that you suffer for doing what is right than for doing what is wrong. Now, if you suffer for doing what is wrong, then it's divine discipline, and in that case, it might be administered by the authorities because you are speeding, like some of these dummy drivers out here. What are you trying to prove with that piece of crap car of yours? Smoke coming out of it, and you're shooting in and out of traffic? You lost your mind? You're not going to get any further ahead than the rest of them. You're going to get stopped. You know? And some of these people, I'm not against people because they have an old car. I'm just saying that some of these people out here are just, they're lawless. So I lay back. I'm going to get to my place just about the same time anyway. And I have nothing to prove that I beat the guy off the line. This is stupid. I don't get any money for it. I don't get any applause for it. Who's that old guy in that Mercedes that thinks he's so cool? You know? Come racing right up behind you. In daylight, with their bright lights on. Big old pickup that's 9 feet off the ground. What is this about? I exaggerate to make my point, okay? No, you're real cool, buddy. You need Christ and you need Bible doctrine, but nobody can get through to you as you got your radio so high, the windows are shaking. This is where we're at with a lot of these people. So 1 Peter provides additional insight. All right, keep your notes from, I thought I might get to them, but I didn't. And that's the notes we'll get to this week. Again, we will let you know if I don't feel right about it. You'll get a night off, and I want you out here slipping and sliding. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity. May God, the Holy Spirit, enlighten us in Christ's name. Amen.